Well, in Matthew chapter 5, we're given a surprising commandment. And you'll see what I mean when we read this. Matthew 5 and verse 48. Matthew 5 and verse 48. Because we know that the Lord wants us to walk in holiness and you know, righteousness and walking in His ways. But to what degree? In Matthew 5 and verse 48, it says, "Be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Be perfect. That's a challenging commandment, isn't it? That's one that we know, you know, reading it at face value, we realize, well, that's impossible. In ourselves, we have nothing that, you know, there's no one has lived a perfect life except Jesus, and no one ever will. But we realize that through Christ, all things are possible. And the Lord desires us to walk in that way, and that it is possible by the Spirit of God. But also we can get a little more understanding as we consider what the original language says. Is, you know, we have this thought of perfection in our understanding, but really in the Greek, it actually means that word perfect means to be complete. You know, be complete. Even as your Father in heaven is complete, that He doesn't lack anything. And so what the Lord is really asking and looking for and desiring is those who are complete in Jesus. Those who are complete and fulfilled and satisfied and lacking nothing because they are connected with the Father. And so the question is, how can we come to this place? How can we get to this place of being complete and perfect as our Heavenly Father is? And let's turn to James chapter 2. This is really our main text, you could say. Or James chapter 1 and verse 2. James 1 and verse 2. And we'll read verses 2 through 4. And it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of temptations. Know this, that the trying of your faith is working patience." Here's the key in verse 4. "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire," or complete, "lacking nothing." That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so James is showing us something that has a direct impact upon our completion, our perfection in Christ. And he says, let patience have her perfect work. And so the idea is that if we let patience have free reign in our lives, it will bring about that state of perfection. Or I think a better thought is being complete in Christ, that we won't lack anything if we can have patience, if we can learn to wait upon the Lord. And so patience is really an important concept in the Christian life and something we want to consider this morning, of how we can be patient and develop this patience. The definition of patience, you know, by Webster's dictionary, it basically means suffering affliction, going through hardship, you know, pain or toil or calamity. But we go through it with a calm, unruffled temper. You don't have to write that down word for word, but really it's just going through difficulty, but yet with a calm spirit, without murmuring or fretfulness. Patience may spring from Christian submission to the divine will. That's why I like Webster's. He has a good perspective. Is that patience can spring from a Christian submission to the divine will. And I think that's really the key if we're looking at patience as a divine quality. That if we're going to obtain patience, there has to be a submission to the divine will. And, you know, patience, I think as we look at heaven's perspective, patience is a valuable commodity in heaven. That as we learn to wait upon the Lord and have patience. And let's consider Hebrews 10 and verse 35. Hebrews 10 and verse 35. It says, "Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise for yet a little while, and he will come and he will not tarry. That's Hebrews 10:35. You know, that with patience, there's a great recompense of reward. That's why we need patience, that we could receive our reward, receive our promise, and enter in if we will wait just a little while. Of course, when we're in the situation of turmoil and trouble, a little while seems like a long time, doesn't it? But then afterwards, we get back, you know, we get over the hump and we get past it and we say, oh, I'm so glad I waited on the Lord for that little bit. It seemed like a long time, but now when I'm looking back, it was just a short time comparatively. And so you could say patience is the key to qualifying, to receive our reward, to meeting the Lord, to overcoming. And so our life is to be more than just doing the will of God, but that after we do the will of God, we wait. We wait upon the Lord. We continue for that season until we receive the precious fruit, you know, as the master farmer does. You know, you could say the farmer, we have a farmer in our midst who can attest to this, you know, that you can do what's required. You know, you can plant, you can seed, you can fertilize, you can water, but that doesn't guarantee you fruit. You have to wait and continue. And to continue to do those things that are necessary until you receive the harvest. Then you have to gather it in too. But there's that aspect of waiting for the right season, of being patient and waiting. Of course, patience is not doing nothing. You know, patience is not just inactivity, but there's something that's happening in us as we're patiently waiting upon the Lord. There's a verse in Luke chapter 21 and verse 19 that has to do with patience. Luke 21 and verse 19, it says, "In patience, possess your soul." In patience, possess your soul. And this is an interesting word for phrase, possess your soul. It actually means to own or to purchase. To own or to purchase. And what does that mean? Well, have you ever been in a situation where it almost seems like your soul is in charge instead of you, instead of your spirit? You know, your emotions are in charge. And that's a natural thing, but yet it's not something God wants to remain that way. That he wants us to be in control, to possess our soul. And one of the ways we do that is through patience, is through learning to wait upon the Lord and quiet ourselves. Even though we don't see the end in sight, but that we you know, purpose in our heart, we learn to wait on what God is doing. And I think David learned that very well in some of his situations in running in the wilderness and waiting for God to deliver him. You know, you don't have to turn there, but it's in Psalm 131. He says, "Surely I have behaved and I've quieted myself as a child that's weaned of his mother. My soul is even even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever." You know, David had learned, he taught himself to wait upon God. And in waiting, he was able to quiet his spirit, quiet his soul as a child that's weaned. And you know, I think we can all understand this illustration, because a child that's not weaned and is hungry, what's that child going to do? He is going to cry. He's going to cry his head off or her head off until they get the bottle. But then a child that is weaned, you know, has learned to wait. They realize, well, there's a dinner time, there's a breakfast, there's a lunch, and there's a dinner and maybe a snack in between. And so they learn to wait for the time of receiving. And the Lord wants to teach us that through patience as we learn to wait upon him. That there's a time to meet with him and there's a time to wait upon him. And as we go through that process, there's a change that takes place. We learn to possess our soul in that waiting. But in looking at this, there's two principal ways that we can develop this patience in our lives. And really it comes back to what Webster said in that definition. You know, the Christian can, let me look back at that. You know, the patience can spring from Christian submission to divine will. And that's really where it comes to, because if we're not submitted to the will of God and we're going through a trial and we're saying, Lord, I'm not submitting to this trial, then we don't want to wait, do we? There's not that desire to be patient or to wait. But yet, when we're submitted, when we have a heart that's submitted to God, that's the key. And, you know, that's what we need, is that submission. And so James 1 and verse 2, James chapter 1, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into those various temptations. Count it all joy. You know, rejoice. And if you're rejoicing in something, that really means that you're accepting it. You're going to walk through that with joy and rejoicing because you know God's in charge. And that word for temptation, it actually means putting to proof. Putting to proof is that when the Lord is taking us through a situation, we're being proved or tested. Our mettle has been tested. And James is not talking about moral temptations so much as trials, where our strength is being proved, our mettle. And, you know, all car companies, I think I was watching a documentary about how car companies have these special testing centers around the world, and they'll develop a car, they'll produce it, or at least they'll have a prototype, and they'll take it through their testing centers where their wheels are put up and down, and they're put through heat and through snow and, or, well, through cold and temperature changes, and to see if it'll hold up. And it's tested. And why is it tested? It's because they want to find out, are there any weak areas that we need to address? Because it's a lot cheaper to address it then than to do a recall and to have to bring it back into the shop and fix it. You know, those various trials, just like those cars have those many tests, the Lord takes us through tests that He wants to inspect us and strengthen us and, you know, correct things, because He wants us to be reliable. He wants us to be firm so that we don't waver or anything like that. But, you know, it kind of comes back to that thought of the car. How would you like to drive a car that hadn't been passed its test? You wouldn't want to put down all that money for a car that hadn't passed its test. Unless you got it really cheap, I guess. But you know, it's the same way, is that the Lord wants to use us, is that He has a plan and a purpose. And so He takes us through those things. And what will make all the difference is if we can be willing to submit. To say, Lord, okay, I don't understand it, but I'm going to submit. I'm going to be patient. I'm just going to let you work in the situation. Lord, have your way. Let patience have her perfect work. You know, and allow those circumstances to work in us, trusting that God can turn all things for good. And that's really the key. You know, Romans 8:28, that those who love God and are called according to His purpose, they're going to have difficulties, but God can turn all things towards our good. And that's the belief we have to have. You know, that's the faith that has to be rooted so perfectly and so deeply in our hearts that as we wait, and that's the challenging part, but yet God can turn all things. That everything that we go through, He can turn it for good. You know, even the Lord didn't have an easy time as He was on earth. He had to go through some things. In fact, it says He learned obedience by the things He suffered, probably in His younger life. But then it says, being made perfect. He was made perfect through the things that He suffered, and He had to submit to the will of His Father. But as He waited on His Father, that's when He was prepared and He was made ready for what God had for Him. He overcame by being meek and lowly. He accepted those trials, and through patience He overcame. But you know, we, in the same way, have to be meek and lowly and accept the work of patience. We prove ourselves to be worthy. In fact, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 4. He says, in all things, approving ourselves ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions and necessities and distresses. 2 Corinthians 6, 4. In all things, we are approving ourselves as ministers to God through patience. There's one more aspect I just want to mention here. We have to submit to the situations we're in, but we're not often in them alone. We're in those situations with other people. We're dealing with other people. And so that patience has to be directed towards others as well. Or, as we're relating to them, we have to have that patience. And Paul, I think he knew a lot about patience and having to deal with people. Because he said this to in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14, he said, we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, support the weak, but be patient to all men. Be patient to all men. So in our ministry, we want to do certain things. We warn people. We comfort others. We support the weak. But towards everyone, we have to be patient because, people are not going to respond as we like, or things are not going to happen in the timing that we like. And so we have to be patient with all people, all men. In fact, he gives us a further explanation of the kind of patience we have to have towards people. What kind of a spirit do we need to have towards people? In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, he's telling his son Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, 24, he says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God by chance will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. First we have to be patient, but also gentle. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And so that idea that in our patience we relate, as we're waiting and being patient, we're relating in gentleness, in meekness, in humility. That having a gentle touch. In fact, that word gentleness translates to sweet reasonableness. Isn't that the kind of person you like to work with? Or deal with if you have an issue, if you're standing in line at the DMV, wouldn't you want someone who had this sweet reasonableness rather than someone that just kind of snapped at you? I think we've been in that situation too. Was impatient and just they wanted to see you gone. But you see, we have to have that developed in our lives, that patience with others, that sweet reasonableness, a gentle touch. Is that what will make the difference in obtaining our reward, in bringing pleasure to the Lord? That's what people are looking for in this age. They're looking for people who have a gentle touch, the thought of a mild temperament, mild reactions. Have you ever tossed something in your mouth only to realize to your horror that that was the hot version of something? you think, oh, this is going to taste good, and all of a sudden the heat starts. I've made that mistake. But, it's even worse when that happens with someone you're dealing with. You think, oh, this person will be nice, and then their reaction happens. Well, we want to make sure that that doesn't happen with us. When they're coming to us, for guidance or comfort or something. But that the Lord has developed that patient spirit in us, that mild spirit. Even to someone who doesn't deserve it, especially to those who don't deserve it, that we have this spirit firmly in our hearts, because that's what the Lord was to us when we didn't deserve it. The Lord is so good to us. And he wants us to be the same and relate the same to others. He wants us to be mellow so that we react in gentleness and mildness and meekness. Because, some people can handle hot food, but most of us don't like hot reactions from people. And David learned this very well. I think we mentioned this in another message, but you know, he had his mighty men, but they didn't start off as mighty men. Right? They started off as people who were in distress, in debt, and discontent. But David transformed them to mighty men through his gentleness, through his patience with them, through his meekness, his gentle touch. And they became great. And so as we're considering this thought that we desire to be perfect, as Christ is perfect, as his heavenly Father is perfect. And, you know, that was the commandment. It wasn't a suggestion. He says, be ye perfect. Be complete. And so we want to say, yes, Lord, and we want to walk in that way. But we realize we need patience. That God is looking for patient people. Those who have waited upon the Lord. Because it's in patience where the real work happens. Where God can use us and where we can really be changed. Where we meet the Lord. Where we're set free. Where all things can be turned for good. Think about that. As we're patient, as we're waiting upon the Lord, he can change everything for good. He can do it. And so let's seek to submit to God, to the circumstances we're in, to possess our soul in patience, because it leads to a great reward. And I think afterwards we'll look back and say, oh, it was worth it. It was worth it to be patient and to wait upon the Lord. And Father, we just thank you that, Lord, you're so patient with us and you continue to be. Lord, we're grateful for that. So, Father, we ask that you would, Lord, teach us to develop patience. Lord, to quiet ourselves and to quiet our soul as a little child. Lord, that you would just meet with us. And, Lord, you give us eyes to see, Lord, the need to wait upon you, to be patient. And, oh, God, to allow you to work in the situation. Lord, just even come and move in our hearts and in our spirits that we could submit to whatever you take us through. And we can, Lord, even have that faith to believe that you can turn it for good as we wait upon you. And Lord, that you would even work in our lives, that we could be patient towards others. Lord, that we can have that meekness and that gentle touch, that mild spirit, oh God, as we're being examples of Christians. Lord, give us that heart and that patience. In that spirit we ask, and we thank you, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.